My name's Emma Cooper, and you're listening to the Network Marketing Mum audio experience. So, a massive, massive welcome to you, Greg. Today, I'm speaking with Greg Pugh, and he is an expert in everything health, wellness, optimum performance. Tell us a little bit about your background, Greg, and what it is that you do and how you can help us.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Emma. I'm glad to reconnect with the UK again.
Yay!
So my background is I was a chiropractor for 13 years. Prior to that, I was a personal trainer for about 7 years. And basically, my story started about, I'd say, 4 years ago. I actually suffered with burnout twice as I was a chiropractor, and really struggled kind of to recover. And I was really quite an active, fit, healthy person, and didn't really quite understand why I suffered with burnout. So that led me down the path where I am now, where I kind of started researching kind of ways to optimize your health, optimize recovery, and kind of learn from the mistakes I'd done. And then as I'd done that the last 4 years, I noticed a lot of patients of mine was getting the same issues. Really? And some would get better, some weren't getting better. So I basically started doing more and more research, what other health things people could be doing to kind of help recover. So yeah. Because why would one person who has the same treatment as someone else, one would get better and be discharged and be fine, where another person would just get worse and worse and wouldn't recover. So that's why I started kind of researching it, and that's why this year we moved to Los Angeles so I can pursue kind of looking at like cutting edge research and kind of biohacking, as they call it in LA, to kind of improve your health.
See, I love that. And we were obviously just talking before this, and LA is so different, or America really, I mean, certain places there are different because they really understand the power of helping yourself first before you put anything else in, kind of helping yourself first. And they're really cutting edge, aren't they, compared to the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think LA's outlook is much more kind of prevention rather than cure.
I love that.
And I think that's based on their health system. Their health system is all around improving your body before you need to go into hospital, whereas the UK is slightly different because of the NHS system. It's like, I'm doing okay right now. When I'm not okay, I'll go and see someone. Yeah. So it's slightly different because of the costs. I think my personal opinion is like the UK is great for like critical illness. People who are really struggling, it's amazing. Actually, I have not seen anything better.
Yeah.
I was so many patients who were kind of before that, who were kind of like acute injuries or, you know, recurrent problems. They just don't seem to get addressed.
Yeah.
Whereas in the West, those problems, a friend of mine, she wasn't feeling well. She had a call with a GP yesterday, and they offered her to go in today for a test to see what's going on with her.
Like, really?
Hours, and she get the blood results within 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
It's completely different.
So that's why people are very educated around their health here. So when you meet people at events or courses,
why do you think that is? Why are they more educated, or how are they being educated?
I just think there's a lot of people just talking about it more here. So there's a lot more people influencing it, talking about it. You know, sometimes they're getting bad advice when you talk to people and they're picked up. So you get that everywhere, but they generally are just, as everyone's talking about their health more one-to-one, whereas in the UK we don't talk about it because we're like, oh, if we don't talk about it, it's not happening.
That's so true. We're so British, aren't we? Oh, I can't talk about that. What do you think that, let's say, I mean, obviously, at the moment, we're all talking about the virus. I'm not going to even say the name. However, this, you know, people are only just starting to think about their immune system when actually, I mean, if you look at autoimmune diseases and how high the figures have gone, whether we're just better now at diagnosing it, whether it was always there before, whether they're becoming more common. I mean, who knows? We can't argue for or against, but we're definitely becoming more aware of all these things, you know, even just fatigue and stuff like that. So people are now looking at, okay, how can I boost my immune system? But what should we be thinking about, Greg? Like, number one, looking after yourself, taking care of you. What should be some of the top things, even if we never have done it before and we're now becoming more aware, where should we start?
Okay, good question. The first thing I'll say is the virus that shall not be named. I'm not an immunologist. I'm a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Health optimization specialist. So I can't like quantify anything around immunology, but
yes.
If you're looking at improving your health
generally
overall,
yeah.
I would say there's some key supplements which are recommended by the World Health Organization. So those would be vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin K2. So vitamin A, you should really be looking at around about 1,500 to 1,000 IU of retinol. So
okay.
Most people don't need to supplement with vitamin A if they have a good diet. So as we were discussing earlier, so if someone has a good diet, it'll normally cover that. So things high in vitamin A would be retinol-based products, and things high in carotenoids, so like squash, carrots, sweet potatoes, because basically your body will take in those carotenoids and then process them into vitamin A.
Okay.
And that's basically what that antioxidant is, what will produce and boost your immune system.
Okay.
So that's a key one.
So this for dummies, vitamin A, get some carrots in your diet. If you don't like carrots, eat a little bit of sweet potato. You don't need to eat massive amounts
things like that.
Potatoes,
pumpkins. You know, you can go a bit mad. Anything that's brightly coloured is generally going to be high in carotenoids.
Okay, So vitamin A.
Next one would be vitamin C, which is kind of the famous one. Everyone knows vitamin C, which we discussed earlier as well. 1 to 2 grams a day is what is recommended kind of to maintain your immune system. There's been some anecdotal research which shows that animals can actually make their own vitamin C.
This is something, now you're touching on something I'm really passionate about. So when my sister was diagnosed with her cancer, we obviously have done like a shed ton of research. One of the things is guinea pigs and what's the other one? Guinea pigs and gerbils. Gerbils, they are the only animals that produce their own vitamin C. When they were testing for cancer tumours, things like this, and doing all the tests, what they found was when they put the tumours into these animals, the tumours not only didn't grow, but they actually got rid of them themselves. And they potentially, these studies, and they're clinical studies, nothing to, you know, I haven't been feeding cancer to gerbils or anything like that, but these clinical studies have shown that the only difference with them is that they produce their own vitamin C, so their vitamin C levels are always where they've just got loads of vitamin C, whereas don't.
They produce extortionate amounts of vitamin C, which, like, you couldn't even take it. It's that much. That's how much they produce.
Yeah.
But, so my general consensus is generally if someone is feeling unwell, they can up that dose. That's my personal thing, what I do.
Okay.
I'm not telling people to take more and more vitamin C, but generally for me, if I feel unwell, I'll take more than 1 or 2 grams.
Okay.
Until.
Do you know why? Why does it help? Like, what is vitamin C? Like, what?
But basically, it's like a really strong antioxidant. So same as vitamin E. So all of these are basically get broken down and produce antioxidants, which break and deal with free radicals. So they basically help strengthen the cells so that they work better.
Ah, got you. Okay. They're like the leaders then. So they gather everyone else together, do your job properly, and they kind of keep us... Okay.
Yeah, so they basically make the cells a lot stronger to deal where it is, because the free radicals disrupt and cause oxidative stress on there. So the antioxidants take away that oxidative stress, so then your immune system's a lot more supportive.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Vitamin C then, the hero.
Vitamin C, yeah. Famous hero.
Yeah.
Next one would be vitamin D. Obviously,
sun or light.
Unfortunately, in the UK, you guys don't get. This is one where you probably need to supplement in the UK because, and you know, it'd be very cloudy in the UK.
But is it sunlight? Which obviously we, you know, better than, is it ice? Is it, no, it's not Iceland that doesn't have like much light. What is it? Finland, They're quite dark, aren't they?
All of those, they have like 2 hours of sunlight a day, and some days it's like dark.
Yeah. So is it sunlight or is it sunshine?
So if it's cloudy, you will still get some vitamin D, but you'll probably be wrapped up and you won't be exposing your skin to it. So your skin needs to be exposed.
Listen, so don't be causing now everyone running out streaking when we get a bit of sunlight. Yeah. Like Greg Pugh told me on a podcast that.
if it's a sunny day with no cloud, 15 to 20 minutes for a standard Caucasian male, female is enough to get your day's amount of vitamin D. That's all.
And what otherwise vitamin D? You need to take,
If
you don't get enough vitamin D, what are the kinds of the things that you might struggle with?
Energy, fatigue, joint pain. That's why it was something which I used to see a lot in the clinic. I'd see a lot of people come in with joint pain, depression, and obviously bone and joint issues.
Wow.
So definitely something which most, I'd probably say 80% or more than that, the people in the UK should be taking between 2,000 and 5,000 IU of vitamin D.
Wow.
And a small point off that is if you're taking vitamin D, you should take vitamin K2 with it, because vitamin K2 reduces, so at high doses of vitamin D, you can get arterial calcification.
Okay.
So taking a small dose of vitamin K2 reduces, nullifies that. And it's a great supplement to take anyway, so it's a good one.
Wow, I think that's an amazing, I don't even know if my sister, I'll check, because she obviously takes a lot higher doses.
I'll take vitamin D, but I don't take the K2 as well. So it's something which a lot of supplements are now starting to add K2 into it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that a man-made thing? Can we get it from food or no?
K2 is very difficult to get from food in the UK. So yeah, and there's two forms. There's MK4 and MK7. You're looking at around MK7 is the better form.
Okay.
And you're looking at around 100 to 200 micrograms of MK7.
Wow. Okay.
Not to get too complicated. No.
We're all going to be chemists after this.
And then the last one I would say is zinc. So about 15 milligrams of zinc a day, because zinc helps utilize vitamin A.
Okay.
So if you're zinc deficient and you're taking loads of vitamin A, you just still don't get the benefit.
Wow.
So you need to make sure you're high in zinc so you can utilize vitamin A.
Okay.
Otherwise, vitamin A becomes irrelevant. Like I said, vitamin A is one of the key things to immune. If vitamin A is low, you get immune suppression. So.
Right, so four things, A, C, D, and zinc. A, C, D, and zinc. We can remember that. A, C, D, and zinc. Yeah. Okay, we get that sorted. We're good. And K2.
K2. Just tap that in at the bottom.
Okay. A, C, D, and then zinc and K2. Okay, I got it.
I know it's quite a lot. I go in a short discussion, it's hard to fit everything
totally,
in.
But
I've got more details on my Instagram at Greg Pugh if people come to that. There's loads of stuff on
supplementation. And on your Facebook. I have been getting so much stuff. Of course, let's talk a little bit more specifically now what can help us right now. There's a lot of people who are not allowed out of their homes. And, we think it's bad. I live in a house with a big garden. What about people who are living in apartments, not getting much vitamin D because they can't go outside? So if we're thinking about that right now, like you said, this was for dummies. You know, if you haven't been thinking about your health before, what, kind of stuff can we do? We can supplement. Those are some important things. What about, I bet you must have seen so many people with joint issues, and being sedentary in your home probably isn't going to help. So what would your advice be, Greg, in these current times?
Yeah, a lot of people now are kind of thinking, it's time to rest. I'll rest up. So sitting around doing nothing isn't going to do you any good.
Yeah.
So we know that gentle exercise, regular exercise helps promote circulation and actually promotes white blood cell proliferation. So exercising and moving is going to help strengthen your immune system even more. So if you can't go out and walk around, if you are quarantined and you're in, I would say the best thing is that you could tie some exercises to another activity in the home. So if you're putting the kettle on, maybe do 20 air squats, or if you've got to go up the stairs to put the washing on, or call your children down, maybe go up and down the stairs, four times or things like this. So
this is a good idea.
Like entertaining rather than kind of just thinking, oh, I'm just going to sit here, because sitting there's one, you're going to get bored, and two, not going to support your immune system.
We can make that fun then, can't we? Like in our house, if you say a certain word, you've got to do 10 squats, or if you, you know, while we're all stuck in living together.
you can make things fun. You can, someone says that you have to get up and you have to do squats until you've finished, or you can do press ups, or you can do, you know,
star jumps, just something simple.
Yeah.
Or if you can't move very much, lifting your knees up, you know, just something.
Jogging on the spot, you know, it's, and if you have an injury, like if you can get, you know, there's still people out there giving advice on those things. So you could, that's your time to maybe work on your injury. So if you have a bad knee, you can do loads of like home weight bearing stuff to help strengthen that knee. For like when you are out of quarantine, your knee will be a lot better and recover more.
So actually it could be a positive, especially for those people with burnout. I want to know, what exactly is burnout, Greg?
So burnout's one of those interesting things. Like generally it's like adrenal fatigue, but adrenal fatigue is kind of overused as well. So it's generally when your body is kind of dealing with too much stress hormone, cortisol, which is leaving that constant fight or flight response. So that's basically what happened with me. I was basically pushing my body, like so many more patients, so many more, you know, making the business busier. So that was basically creating more stress. Plus I was probably at the time drinking too much caffeine and too much other stuff, which, you know, you think if you're doing this and this, that's good for you. But if you combine them all, it's too much stress for your body.
Yeah.
So stress, that was going to bring up my next thing, is managing your stress levels.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting stressed at the moment with things around, you know, worry and concerns. So if you can help regulate your stress levels. And probably the best way to do that, I would say, is through your sleep. So getting good quality sleep. Because a lot of people, you know, no time to get up and go to work, make sure you're getting your 6 to 8 hours. Because, you know, same again, sleep basically has been shown that repeated sleep suppresses your immune system, probably the most out of all those things.
Do you know, it's so sleep. Interesting you say this, because I used to almost, and there'll be people listening that do exactly the same thing, or you've been in an office environment or group environment where it's the same. And I used to brag about how, like, it was kind of bragging.
Like
wearing my work ethic like a badge. Like, oh, I've only been sleeping for 3 hours a night for the last year. I've been working so hard. Yeah. That's nothing to be proud of. I tell you, it has only been the last 3 months where I've really focused on sleep. And I cannot believe how different my anxiety is pretty much gone. And like, I didn't believe that anxiety was an actual thing until I got a physical pain in my chest where I felt like someone put their hand in and squeezed my heart like that just once.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? Maybe I've got heart problems. They were like, it's anxiety. I'm like, shut up. As soon as I changed my sleeping, gone.
Yeah. Like if you anyone who deals with anxiety, stress, like literally cut out caffeine, improve your sleep.
Yeah.
And like, even not like when I was dealing with, where I was suffering with, I had to cut back my training. So I was finding when I would exercise, normally you'd get all those endorphins and you'd feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
When I would train, I felt worse. And I was like, this is new. So as I started digging in deeper and getting, you know, specific testing done to look at cortisol, look at hormones, I was noticing a pattern.
Cortisol as well, if you're producing too much of that, it's in your gut, isn't it? And of course, that then can cause your immune system to drop. So it's almost like, gosh, you've really got to try and be as balanced as you can be.
Gut health is a big thing around this. It's kind of new. So the gut microbiome is kind of a new era of kind of where health is going. A lot of people investigating how the gut works and how important it is for supporting your immune system.
My sister literally just had her test done for her gut microbiome. I'd never heard of it before, and in 2 days I've heard it three times.
Which test was it?
I'm not sure. They just said her microbiome level wasn't what it should be, and so she was looking to have some treatments.
Yeah, there's a company I've used called Viome, and they were brilliant. They basically post back kind of what you were low in, what species you kind of, what foods suited your gut more, so you could alter your diet around that. But there were things in mine which said, like, peppers were bad. And you think, oh, peppers are high in vitamin C, I should eat peppers. But no, apparently there was a virus within the pepper which was negative for my gut. So I...
There are some real big stuff, like, that you can really delve deep into to get you optimally healthy, which is, I guess, your job role, really.
Yeah, that's what I do now, is literally looking into, like, people's specific genetic testing, blood testing, saliva testing, urine testing, to give a good picture of, like, their microbiome, their genetic profile, their hormones. And you can kind of go, okay, this is Emma, this is who you are, and this is what you need to do to optimize. And it's different. And that's why
generic is very different. Like,
well, these are good for you, these are bad for you. And, you know, one of my good ones was a banana, whereas it's something I've avoided because they're quite high glycemic.
Yeah.
But it was one of my superfoods.
Oh, wow.
So I need to start adding bananas in because it's good for my biome. So.
See, all this stuff as well. I mean, I know it's another podcast and I could literally speak to you for hours about it. But my sister had her specific bloods done, and lots of people don't realise you can actually go and get this done. She had to pay a lot of money. I think it was a couple of £1,000. But of course, she had been diagnosed with cancer. We were willing to... It literally told her what chemotherapy she would react best to. And I mean, luckily, that was the chemotherapy that the oncologist had picked for her. But I mean, they can get right down into your DNA. They told her how many cancer cells, roaming cancer cells, she has per milligram, micro... I don't know, understand that. But
they can tell you whether you respond to immunotherapy or not.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's crazy stuff. Right, back to basics then. Right, so we've got C, vitamin C, A, D, zinc, and K2. We've got that. Yeah. We want to be moving around a little bit more. What about sleep. Sleep? Yes, massively sleep. Yeah. Stick to your routine, basically, then, even if they're all out of it.
Sleep's a podcast on itself. I've just done a podcast on it. It's basically keeping a good routine.
Yeah.
So getting... Sunlight in the morning is key because it sets your circadian rhythm. So we all have a natural circadian rhythm, which we go through each night. Yeah. So getting sunlight in the morning sets that clock off. So it starts going through the day. And then there's also other things which regulate your circadian rhythm. So exercise is one. So you don't want to exercise too late. Bright lights, so phones, computers, we kind of know staying away from those late of an evening.
Yeah.
Anyone who follows me online will see me with my red glasses of an evening, because basically to block all blue light. And then what that does is it will help increase melatonin production. So melatonin is your sleep hormone, so it'll basically increase the pressure of melatonin, and that will help set you off to sleep. So that's why people who are on the computers and stuff will then go to bed, can't sleep, is because...
Yeah, that's me.
Melatonin has been suppressed from blue light or bright light.
Do you know, that is so true, because I used to take, you could only get them in the States, so I might get you to...
Melatonin.
They're brilliant. I won't talk about that, actually, but they are amazing. They're these little gummies, and I get them when I go to the States and I stock up, but I haven't needed them. Yeah. I haven't needed them since.
Whenever I fly internationally from the UK and back to LA, I always take melatonin the first day or two.
Yeah,
like a high dose melatonin to set my circadian rhythm.
Yeah,
because that's why people get jet lag. But that's really good. And then the other thing you can do is like have a nice shower or hot cold shower before you go to bed, because that helps calm your parasympathetic nervous system down. So that will help calm you to fall asleep better.
Wow.
So all simple things you can do, all free. You know, people can't say I can't afford it. You can all afford to have a hot cold shower before you go to bed, and you'll sleep way better.
This is brilliant. I'm going to try all this tonight. Sean snoring before 9 o'clock.
But you can't do much about partners. And I had someone ask me the other week, they were like, what if I've got children or a newborn? And I was like, it's neon impossible to get good sleep. So what I would do is if you can cycle it, so if your partner can get up one night, and then you get up the next night, so at least you get a 24 hours of decent sleep.
Share the burden.
You might fall asleep for 24 hours.
If you can't share the burden, let's say we've got a single mum of a young child, what could be the best way? I mean, look, you're going to lack sleep, of course. You can nap when they do.
What I would say is to nap when they nap.
Yeah.
Well, that our natural circadian rhythm is that we actually, we should nap between like 12 and 4. That's why, around lunchtime, everyone feels tired. That's your circadian rhythm dipping and saying, like, if you want to take a nap now. So I actually do that. I'll do a 20-minute nap. My naps are a little bit different. So I 20, use something called a new
no, food. Shush, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Shut up. What do you do? Like, click your fingers and you're asleep?
Yeah, I've got this device. It's called a NuCalm. So it plays...
Wait there, I'm taking a note. What's it called?
NuCalm. NuCalm.
This is what my sister's got. It plays rhythm things.
It's absolutely
binary beats or something.
It's got binaural beats which plays through it.
Binaural
and it's
beats.
Basically shown to... So when I was dealing with like kind of burnout, that's when I read up about NuCalm. And it's expensive, but I was it's a patented technology to deal with stress. And I was like, I got to buy this. And it was, it's amazing. So every day, 20 minutes, mask on. And I put it on, and it literally will, it takes your brain waves from kind of beta and alpha, which are your active brain waves, and it'll take you into theta, which is your restorative sleep.
Wow.
So it's a 20-minute nap is the same as having an hour and a half sleep cycle. It simulates an hour and a half sleep cycle. It's,
you know that I'm going to check, she's got them with her, so I'm going to go and nick them off.
Oh, yes.
Give me a go.
You can normally share the code for it.
Oh, okay.
So if she gives you her passcode, you can share it.
Oh, wow.
So I bought it, and now my wife.
Everyone uses it.
Everyone's my parents. They're all using it now too.
It was actually really good for Nick because the way she was told she had cancer and stuff was very stressful. It's almost a bit like PTSD. You know, I mean, even the thought of it. If she even going into any kind of medical establishment just takes her straight back to that. And so it's really helped her overcome that alongside counselling she's having with Maggie's, which is a great counselling service they offer for free for anyone affected with cancer and their families. But also with these beats, she said it just put her in a much calmer place. And you can monitor kind of the level of calm. She has something, I don't know if it's the same thing, or she has something else, but you can monitor your level of calm. And so she knows she needed at least to be in this zone of calm for 20 minutes a day or something like that, at least so your body is rested.
Yeah, and your body's just rested and restoring. And they did trials on it with patients who had cancer, and that's why they got their pattern, because they were showing that even in this most critical, stressful time of your life, people were getting results and getting less stressed.
See, that's amazing. So that's called NuCalm.
NuCalm, yeah.
Okay. Well, Greg, I know that we've probably kept you long enough, but this is just absolute dynamite information. We're going to be interviewing a lot more on specific things.
We're going to be interviewing a lot more of these things.
You know that. You know that. Tell us, though, where can they follow you? How can we consume more of your information?
So I'm generally on Instagram, so at Greg Pugh on Instagram. You'll find me on Facebook as well, because I tend to share my content through both.
Yeah, great.
And I'm starting a new podcast next month on the 14th of April called Biohacking Becoming Limitless. Becoming Limitless.
That's brilliant. Okay, yeah, everything
from nutrition, supplementation, sleep, exercise advice, and everything weird and wonderful you can do to help optimize your health and performance.
This is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And do you know what? It's never been more prevalent. You know, now, so many of us, even people who've never really thought about their health before, and even people who are healthy want to be healthier. So I recommend everybody follows you. Everybody, I love your Facebook. I'm normally on Facebook the most. I love all the information you put on there. It's fantastic, and it's going to really help us in particular with being isolated, because it's all stuff we could do at home, which is wicked and really helpful.
That's what I want people to be able to, like, something they look forward to, thinking, I'm going to learn something new, and just give people information they might not even thought about before.
That's what you've done for me. I'm like, ooh, look at this. I've saved them all. And then if you post a little bit later one day, I'm like, oh, he hasn't posted yet.
So, I do get people message me saying, when are you posting anything today about it? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get it.
Social media stalkers, I think we're called. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for your time. I mega, mega appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
This podcast was sponsored by MyProPlanner, the number one planner for network marketers.